It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, hanging out in Arizona these days, and he's zooming in for a very rousing discussion of some pretty heady subjects this week. Obviously, everyone's interested in the process of marriage, how to get along, but Daniel's getting more into the purpose of marriage and the purpose of marriage in creation this week. Hey there, Daniel.
Yeah, good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you. We are getting into some of the things you're covering in a new book you're working on. We've kind of touched on this through, I think we've been hearing about this for about the last year. Are you going to get this book done anytime soon?
I hope to do it next year, but as I explained in our last show, that the difficult part of this book is that it's got to be biblically based. In the Bible, the salvation message is very simple, but the Bible is can be a very complex book. There's so much depth, and as I'm understanding that marriage is front and center in God's in the process of God's working out toward His divine objective for mankind, it's not a small matter. And so I've written a lot over many years. Actually, I've been writing on this for probably well over 20 years. And but I just keep having to start over a lot because I keep seeing the pieces fall together. Mm. So as I explained last week, kind of moving toward what I hope is a publishing of a book sometime next year, six things have kind of come together, things that I feel people have to grasp in order to understand the purpose of marriage. And I believe that the church needs to understand the purpose of marriage, because if we just keep working on the process and writing and doing seminars on the process, how to better get along, you know, it just begs the question, why should we get along? Can't we just coexist and let's get two separate houses and not get divorced, because God hates divorce, but it doesn't say we have to necessarily live together. But that misses the whole point of marriage. And so Genesis being the beginning of all things and the beginning of marriage, as I pointed out last week, I believe that God only has one purpose in all in this whole temporary evanescent creation, which is like a bracketed portion of an eternity. There's only one purpose, and that is for God to create a God family. Now, He couldn't just create more angels, because this God family, this creation needed to know good and evil and only choose good. And that was going to require some training, and training means you're going to make mistakes. So there had to be this accommodation for making mistakes, which would imply there's got to be forgiveness. And since to sin and to separate yourself from God it's like unplugging your toaster. If you unplug your toaster and try to get toast, you're not going to get it because the toaster's dead. So if we sin against God, if we unplug, well, then we die. And so there had to be a provision, and that provision was the Lamb of God. And so He came into time, put on flesh, so that He could die, because spirits don't die. They get damned, but they don't die. So there had to be this way. And so this was all taken care of. But the thing is that marriage plays a central role in all of this. So I came up with these six things that we have to grasp: the purpose of creation, the meaning of the image of God, the origin and inevitability of sin, and inevitability of sin, the nature and effect of the fall, how marriage, biblical marriage, is designed to address sin. Got to make that biblical marriage, because marriage on its own is just a cultural development. And the role of biblical marriage in the body of Christ, which is God's only purpose in all of this creation and everything, is to create for Himself a God family. Mm. And it's just awesome when you think that the scripture that says, talked about the love of God, that we should be called the sons of God, and that we should be joint heirs with Christ and share. I mean, that's just, the more I think about that, it's just mind boggling that God would create a being, but with the full intention of that being being divine.
I think something that's so encouraging about the way you're approaching this subject is, again, it just shows how unique Christianity is compared to, I would say, Judeo-Christianity is to other religions. Mm-hmm. Judeo-Christianity is very human-focused. Other religions are not human-focused. There's this, you know, reality of the way people are, and they sin, and they need forgiveness. And that's very encouraging. And it's also that it's so preeminent in his creation story. You'd think, what, you're saying the God who's over the universe and all these creation things that we find out, and DNA and all of these things, mm-hmm. that still the most important thing to God is human relationship, not just between each other, but with him. And that's very powerful. And we're finding, you know what I think too, as I'm listening to you the last show and today, is we're finding out some of these issues come up as we try and create beings in our own image, i.e., AI and robots and things, and you know, artificial intelligence. We're running into some of these issues with our own intelligent creations and how they
issues
go
like
awry.
They're
going to go awry if we're not careful.
Yeah.
But God thought of it first.
Yeah. Well, so the last one we talked about in our last show, we talked about, and I'll just cap on, but, you know, we talked about the grasp of the origin and inevitability of sin. And I've written an article on that that people can read at my website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And I think it's the current article, if I'm not mistaken. But the name of the article is Who Created Evil? And it's a bit of a theodicy, which is an explanation of how an all-powerful, all-loving God could wind up with a system with evil in it. So it explains that. And so I'll just kind of touch on it quickly here and then press on. But the image of God is this ichad, this unity of plurality. And of course, when God designed or thought to create this creature that would actually be a part of his family, so it would have, in a sense, his DNA through faith. And so when he designed that, he meant to express himself. Now, we're cognitive creatures, and we have to be cognitive creatures in order to know good and evil and make a choice. In order to have moral choice, we have to be cognitive. Now, all of God's creatures, animals, are cognitive. And so that doesn't separate us from the animals, but the height of our cognition and the fact that it also, we are cognitive about spiritual things. And lower animals have no interest in spiritual things because they don't have spirits. So in order to express, God had to express in such a way that what he wanted to express is seen against a background of something that's different. So I use this example in the article. So we walk into an artist's studio, and we see the artist painting on a gigantic white canvas, and he's painting and backing up and painting and backing up, and looking it over, painting. But the canvas remains white. And so we take a peek at the palette, and we see, oh, well, there's only one color. It's titanium white. And so we ask the artist, what are you painting? And she looks and she says, well, you got to be kidding me. You can't see the white rabbit in the snowstorm? And we say, no, not unless you paint something other than the rabbit or the snowstorm, because we're cognitive creatures. So when God wanted us to experience something, it had to be against a backdrop. And so what does God want us to know about him? He could have created big planets and given us just the intelligence of lower animals, and we might figure out, oh, he can create big planets. But that's not all he wanted us to know about him. He wanted us to know that he's loving, that he's kind, that he's forgiving, that he's gracious, for all those things that are his nature. And if we're going to be part of his family, we have to know those things about him. And so in his creating, there had to be this backdrop with a certain potential. And so we use that analogy of the rabbit and the white snowstorm. Say God had to create in such a way that mankind could look and experience. Now, God did not create evil things. The scripture says that I create light and make darkness. I create peace and make evil. And so we say, what does it mean, make evil? Well, there's a motif, light and dark. Those are spatial counterparts, and they each define the other. Peace and evil, those are spatial counterparts, and they define each the other. Okay, now looking at this thing, God did not create evil per se, though. He didn't create evil acts and evil thoughts, but he created this thing that Scripture refers to as evil here. And also, Thomas Aquinas wrote about this, and he called it a privation, that when God created substance, there was axiomatically the creation of a privation, where there was like a nothing. So something against nothing. And so you see the something, stars against the black outer space, or that kind of thing. And so this privation, Thomas Aquinas points out, did not have a nature, because in the beginning, there were no behaviors or thoughts within the privation. Mm-hmm. In order to have a nature, there has to be some behavior. And so I have this analogy in the article of, we're walking along and we see a credit card laying on the sidewalk, and we pick up this credit card, and there are no markings on the credit card. It's got a strip on the back of it, but there are no bank markings. There's no name. It's just out of curiosity, we take it to a cash machine and we put it in and we punch in $1,000 and we get $1,000. So the card actually works. Now, here's the thing. To have possession of that card is not illegal. But to use the card is unethical or illegal. Mm. It's the same with this privation. Before it had a nature, it is not evil as we know each evil. But then I believe that God created Satan to officiate in that area. And so just like the credit card, there's nothing evil per se about that privation until there's a behavior or an act within it. And that is the beginning of evil. It's a kind of a crude way of a human way of looking at it. And so that's the beginning of evil. And as Paul said, sin was present before the law, but the law brought it out. Moving on to, and so each one of these points that they sort of point to the next point. So we're just going to continue the conversation and talk about how we have to grasp the nature and the effect of the fall, because what actually happened. Mm-hmm. So we have evil there. And then when Satan rebelled, we have evil as we know it. Everything that is in antithesis of God's grace and mercy and goodness, and all those things now exist. And it's for mankind to experience those within this bracketed. So that's why we're given the flesh. Our spirits are closed in flesh, or what I call hazmat suits, because they're sin magnets. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from a break, and tie it into marriage. We got to keep tying these things into marriage.
Yeah, definitely putting on the theology hat this week with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, getting into the purpose of marriage, which precedes the process. We all want to know more about the process a lot of times, but he believes understanding the purpose will inspire the process in a much more powerful way if we'll just think about it some more. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel, to find out about your services?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Website is BibleBasedCounselor.com, and I've also mentioned ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and my services are all virtual nowadays. So I use the Zoom platform, and of course, in Arizona, there's a little bit of a time difference now that you've gone off daylight savings time, but that won't bother anybody. I'll just be up later. That's the contact for me. And give me a call or an email through the website, and I can maybe be of some help.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a few minutes.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, getting into some heady stuff this week with Daniel Pryor. Not so much about the process of marriage, but the purpose of marriage. Is that kind of what your book coming up is going to deal with more, is the purpose of marriage and some of these kinds of subjects, Daniel?
Well, it's going to be two parts. The first part is the purpose of marriage.
Okay.
And then the second part is the process, which is going to be the tools that I work with and the things that I teach people. But they're going to make a lot more sense to people after understanding the purpose of marriage, because, you know, marriage has, as we said in the first segment, you know, or the previous show, I think it was, that one thing that is always true and has always been true about husband and wife is we don't think alike. And that is by design, which I'll get into in the next portion here. So a lot of times marriages can be really rough. They can really take a wallop, and we bring things into the marriage, you know, health problems, personality problems. We bring these things into the marriage. The marriage has those things are supposed to be in the marriage. They're grist for the mill. Those are the things that we're supposed to be tackling. But it helps to understand the purpose of marriage, to understand that, oh, that is not something that's external to our relationship. That's just an outside annoyance. That's something within the process that God wants us to deal with. So it helps to know that God is in this, even though it's not comfortable. And the reason that he said tells us not to divorce is because he knows it's going to be very tempting to divorce and get out of it. But
one of your 6 points is this next one: how biblical marriage is designed to address sin. So why don't you expound on this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me first talk about, just leading into that one, when we have to understand the effect and the fall of nature, a lot of times we have the mistaken idea that Adam and Eve had this wonderful relationship with God, and he just told them, you know, don't eat that fruit or it'll kill you. And they went ahead and did it. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe you recall some time in your childhood, Mark, but I remember hearing my parents say maybe more than once, don't eat that, it'll make you sick. And, you know, and even with my fallen nature, I didn't want to get sick, so I didn't eat it. But here we are. If we imagine that Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God and he said, don't eat that, it will kill you. And they went ahead and ate it. So it's just hard to believe that they had this kind of amazing relationship with God. And there's no scripture that it points to any kind of relationship with God apart from Eve, who named the children and acknowledged God in the naming of the children. But there's nothing to indicate that Adam had a relationship with God, if we look carefully at the scripture. So what did man actually have before they sinned? I think they were, you know, they didn't have conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge, and they didn't yet have the knowledge. And so I think we're looking at a couple of childlike creations, and they're going to need to learn. And so what we want to understand here is the process of Adam and Eve learning good and evil required marriage. This idea of the man and the woman coming back together to be one ikad, and in the process of doing that, they're going to address sin. So this next point is we have to grasp how that biblical marriage is designed to address sin. So I imagine a equilateral triangle with a circle at each angle, and the top of the angle, I'm going to say, well, that circle is God. And then down below, we have the man and the woman, and God separates them, and it makes this equilateral triangle. Well, then man sins. And, why did he sin? Well, he was going to sin. God said, well, if you eat that, you'll die. But we have to ask, what did they know about death? Well, then why would God say it if they didn't know anything about death? Well, God said it so that you and I would read it and understand that the wages of sin is death. Adam's not going to read Genesis, but you and I are reading Genesis, and that's why the words are in there, so that we will know. So God may have spoken, if you eat of this, you'll die. I don't imagine that they had any knowledge of death. People could ask, well, didn't they live a long time before they sinned? Well, that's irrelevant. The points of the Bible are they were created, woman was made, they sinned. And those are the points. And so it's just irrelevant and a waste of time to imagine what could have happened, might have happened, should have happened. If it's not in the scripture, it's not relevant. And so what's in the scripture is they were created, they were separated, man and woman, they sinned. And so what we know is that the marriage institution foresaw the fall. And so marriage is designed as a way where the husband, so the husband and wife are separated, the man and woman are, the woman is made, so the ikad is separated. And so then the two are to become one flesh. But God knows that sin is going to occur. And so what happens is when they sin, the first thing they do is they put on these fig leaves to hide from one another because they're ashamed. It's interesting. The Bible says the only thing that it talks about their relationship is that one phrase, they were naked and not ashamed. I woke up one night at about 2 o'clock in the morning with a scripture verse on my mind. And the scripture verse was, who told you that you were naked? And that just hit me just hard. And I thought, what a question. Obviously, it's a rhetorical question, but the scripture says that when they sinned, it says their eyes were opened and they knew. So God created them naked without clothing, but were they blind? It says their eyes were opened and they knew. Is it suggesting that they had short, really short vision? No, it's the knowing has to do with the spiritual thing. Their eyes were opened, their spiritual eyes were opened, and they knew. Knew what? Knew they were naked. What is that? Knew they were mortal, knew they were fragile, knew they were in the presence of this creator God that they now must fear in their circumstances. So when God says, who told you you were naked? He's not saying, who told you you didn't have any clothes on? You know, I would just say, I figured it out. But, you know, who told you that you were mortal? Who told you that you were frail? Who told you that you need to fear me? Because that's what Adam said. I was afraid of you because I was naked. Why would he be afraid of God for being naked since God created him naked? He's talking about something else. He's talking about being vulnerable, being open, being frail, being corruptible flesh. I knew I was corruptible flesh. And So we talk a little bit about the nature and the effect of the fall. It says that before that they were naked and they were not ashamed. But why would Moses say, oh, they were naked and they weren't ashamed? He's pointing to something. He says that because he's pointing to the fact that that's precisely what changed when they sinned. They became ashamed. And when I talk to married couples, the husband and wife being told that you're to be one flesh. Why one flesh? Because the flesh is where the sin is. The flesh is where we gain the knowledge of good and evil. And the flesh is where we get in the flesh, we get almost like a vaccine. We get a little bit of the disease to build up the immune system. The flesh is a way of experiencing the horrors of evil and making a choice for good without being damned. Because there's this permission, this salvation that we're going to have. So we have this bracketed period in eternity where there's room for error, room for learning, and all of this because God wants a family like himself. These are my people. This is my body. We know good, we know evil, but we only know good. Only I had a couple good. More points here, but I yeah. think we're going to probably.
I think it's going to be a three-part series, so yeah. We'll take a break there and come back next time with more of this very interesting discussion, kind of heady subject, but interesting, and it can inform maybe a better marriage for you if you understand the purpose of marriage in creation. Daniel Pryor working on a book about some of these subjects, hopefully get that in the new year. But people are intrigued by your approach to marriage and marriage issues and want to know more about your services. How did they do that, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, I've mentioned the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you can get a review of these radio shows too. And also ChristianCounselorsForum.com, where you'll find that article on the inevitability of evil. So 425-778-6169. Email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. All my services are virtual now, and hope I can give you some help.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.